The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Welcome to the Fandom Files. We're a Sci-Fi Wire podcast about people who really, really like stuff. I'm Jordan Zachrin, the features editor here at Sci-Fi Wire, and I'm joined by my good pal and co-host, Emily Gaudette, who's an editor acting intently. Emily, how are you?
Hey, Jordan. I'm really good.
Why are you really good right now?
Because I'm really excited about this episode.
Why is that? I keep asking why.
On the list of performers that you and I discuss often, this guy is probably the top one.
Yeah.
But I'm so far from sci-fi.
You were in Sharknado too?
I was in Stargate.
Yeah.
I was in Stargate the movie and Stargate
right.
the
Different
TV
characters.
Show. Different characters.
Yeah.
That's hardcore sci-fi.
Oh,
yeah.
You are so lucky I'm here.
Richard Kind is here on the show talking about a new science fiction movie. He's got Augie. Really excited. Thank you for being here.
And what does Augie stand for?
It's augmented reality. I can't remember the exact
augmented
term.
Reality.
Okay, cool.
I think that's what
right,
it is.
That was all right. Good.
It's just I want to know something that you guys don't know.
No, it's
obvious in the movie that
yeah.
what it is. Yes.
No, it's a pretty cool movie, and you do a ton of work. This is the first you've worked with like top name directors, all of them. This is the first time director.
Oh, I thought, well, what a slam to Matt Cain.
No, you know, I'm saying like
you've worked with really great directors, and now Matt Cain.
No, I'm saying he must have had something special that made you want to do it.
Oh, I wish I could say it was Matt Cain. Matt is great. So that's the first thing. And was raised as an actor and was a young actor. And this is just his first foray into directing, although he co-wrote the film. But Matt Cain was not the reason that I'm doing the movie. Matt Cain came along with it. The reason that I did the movie has nothing to do with the script per se. It's that I am a character actor. And when I do work that's not on theater but is on TV or film, it's usually a scene here, a scene there, and, you know, it adds up to three or four scenes. And I have stuff to do, and the scenes are pretty good, but I am not in the entire arc of the movie. So one thing that really, you know, the layman doesn't think like this, but here I am, a character actor, offered the weight of the movie is on my shoulders.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
I don't get that. I get it in theater, but I don't get it anywhere else. And here, you know, if you shoot scene 14 on Monday and then you shoot scene 82 on Tuesday, there is an art to knowing where you're coming from, what you've been. It's a very interesting thing because if it takes a certain amount of time to shoot any feature, you got to remember where you are. This thing we did in 12 days.
Oh,
it's
my God.
Let me tell you something, and you guys don't think about this either. This is such a low budget movie. This is pennies. I'm telling you, pennies. Pennies is what this thing cost. And pennies is a lot more than what I got. I got centimes. To have a movie like this, a small movie picked up by what is a very prestigious distributor, which is Samuel Goldwyn.
Sure.
People don't understand that, okay, it takes this much money to make a movie. It takes two times, sometimes three times more to distribute it. Right. Because how do you get word out there? You know, can you imagine what TV time costs? Or an ad in the New York Times, just a little ad is thousands of dollars. That's quite the budget. And Samuel Goldwyn has that because they're rich.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
And that they thought that much about this movie, I think should tell your audience that it's worth checking out. Samuel Goldwyn has put its seal of approval. It's imprimatur. They patted us on the head and said, you are worth something. We will distribute it. And I hope people see it.
So the basics of the movie is you play a guy who was kind of pushed out of his job. He's an architect.
Yes, called early retirement.
Yeah, sure. And they give you as a gift a pair of augmented reality glasses.
That's right. It's something that doesn't exist.
Yet.
Right. Isn't that crazy? I know it doesn't. But while I am being pushed out, my wife gets a promotion. Mm-hmm. My daughter graduates law. So they have the world ahead of them. I'm pushing everything behind. And these glasses tap into what my thoughts are and create an augmented reality. And of course, mine is a girl in her mid-20s. and I, with what happens in the movies, I was not so thrilled about some of that, but she's a wonderful, wonderful actress.
I got to say, I said this to Emily earlier, the early retirement thing is like my nightmare. Like being forced to not work or be home.
Ask somebody who's, you know, might be forced into early retirement. You know, I'm of age. However, I don't believe that I will be. I don't think so, because what I'm hoping is I have young kids. And once they go off to college, please just get out of my life. But once they get out off to college, I can retire, but not have to take jobs for money, so sure. that I can support them. And actually, I will be more open to more work, and I plan to do all sorts of things. And I've been doing all sorts of things anyway.
During
my career. I'm a lucky guy.
I was gonna say, it doesn't seem like there's been many limitations on the type of roles.
I did an opera once at Lincoln Center.
Really?
I did, yeah, Leonard Bernstein's Candide. Mm. So I have my share.
Yeah.
When did you decide, okay, I'm a character actor, that's how I'm going to move forward?
I think the world sort of forced that on me. I was foisted into that. When I would say, oh, I'd really love to play that part, they go, nope, sorry, taken up by some good-looking guy over there. So I really didn't. I wish that I were such a great actor that I completely transform. Like Daniel Day-Lewis or, all the, and I'm not that guy. That's just not my stock in trade. The producer of the theater, Second City, a guy named Bernie Solins, used to talk about this. And are you familiar with Joe Flaherty from SCTV?
Yeah.
He really would, and you never were invited in to see who Joe Flaherty was. He really did hide behind the characters that he did, and he didn't have a persona. Whereas somebody like John Candy, who was also in SCTV, you hooked into him.
Sure.
And I'm more of that. Mm-hmm. And like a stupid man, what I do is try and show how diverse I can be, how versatile I can be. And sometimes you get away from hooking into who that person is. But I'm not good enough to so diversify.
Well, I think the good thing about having you in a project that's not like where you're the lead actor is that you're going to be the best part of every scene that you're in, whether you're in a lot of them or not.
Can I be honest? That is sort of what I think of. When I start doing a scene, I go, how do I steal this from the other actors? And if you're lucky, you are working with other actors who are going to steal it from you, because then that elevates your game.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying I want to steal it. Then there's a difference. It's not that I want to steal it. It's how can I steal it, because that may make me better.
Yeah.
But I'm always in an ensemble. Look, I did this the movie Argo,
right,
which I think I'm in one of the best scenes in the movie. Mm-hmm. I'm working with one of my heroes, one of the greats, Alan Arkin, is going to steal the movie. He's got the lines to steal the movie. How do I steal it from Alan Arkin? I don't. But how can I match him? How can I show that I'm not only am I good, that the scene is good, and truly Alan Arkin can take care of himself and therefore steals the scene? But how can I be in such a memorable scene? How can I be really great in it? That's what I do.
Well, what's interesting about Augie is that you're in like basically every scene, and it's like it's a quieter role, I guess. I mean, you're either thinking or talking to the reality glasses a lot.
Sure.
And so what kind of adjustment was that for you?
Huge. It was a huge adjustment, because I'm an outsized actor quite often. Those are the tricks I go to, and I had to have the courage not to go into my bag of tricks and serve. I'm kidding about stealing the scenes, but in a movie, you know what I say to myself sometimes when I'm doing a scene? I'm not going to win an Oscar for this, so I might as well be good.
That's good. That's good.
Know, and really be true and be honest. And that's what I'm not going to win an Oscar for Augie. I might as well serve the script and try and be really good.
That's good.
Yeah,
that does make sense.
You know, the glasses, they present you know, a young woman to you. I'm wondering what your relationship with technology is like.
I'm an idiot. It's why I really should not be on this show. I am the poster child for not being on this show. And for I'm the furthest thing from sci-fi. I have my phone. If I have a problem, call my kids. Get in here. This is really awful. I don't know what to do. In fact... I may ask for your help when we're finished.
Okay.
Because I can't ask for, okay.
Sure.
But so please remind me.
Okay, I will.
First of all, I have no interest in it.
Okay.
I am not that kid who made the ham radio. Well, you don't remember this, but you know, in class we made like ham radios, or we did these things. I don't need the technology. Mm-hmm. I have a thing called Control 4 in my home. Control 4 is you see, you're not wealthy enough yet to afford such luxuries and idiot things.
Nope.
But they're what houses in L.A. have that from the remote control, you can turn your lights on, you can turn your sound system, you turn your TV, you turn the alarm system. For me, it's only the TV. And if it breaks down, I got to call somebody to come out and fix it. I don't know what to do. I wish I just had cable TV, but somebody suggested getting this specialized form of remote control. It's the stupidest thing I ever did in my life, and I don't know how to use it enough, and I wish I... And in New York, you don't need all these lighting systems right. And everything. In a big home in L.A., you know, you turn on the lights in the garden, or, oh, we're going out by the pool, let's press this button and light up the pool. I got none of that. So I use it for the TV, and if the TV goes down, we're sunk for a month or two.
I wouldn't even know how to install it. I live in Manhattan. I don't even know how would I install that because things are so old here, too.
Yes, you're right.
Yeah.
That's part of the problem. It's it's an antiquated city. The subways are going to, wait till the subways just fall apart.
Yep.
And it's any day now. It's any day.
Oh,
those subways are just going to collapse.
Is Cam, your Emily's boyfriend is a programmer. Is he into like the tech and smart TVs?
Oh, yeah,
TVs
for sure.
That?
Like a big gadget person. I think that's a lifelong thing. The way you describe like school projects, I think there are people who like to investigate little systems.
Gadgets. Mm-hmm. I'm not good with gadgets. I wish I were. I even like the sound of it. Gadget. It sounds great, but I'm not good with them.
I'm not great with it either.
And I'm fascinated. Well, you know, I used to say that I don't want to die because I don't want to miss what movies are going to be coming out. And then I had children, and I don't want to die because I want to see my kids grow up and I want to be with them. But now, along with my kids, I want to see what's going to be invented. I want to see the self-driving car. These are things I did imagine when I was a kid, and that, you know, I was around before there were ATM machines. Can you imagine? Before ATM machines, I existed. And then before phone machines. I remember the first time I heard, back when only AT&T, you know, when the phone company was, you know, like that, having the answering service, you know, I'm pressing those. I remember John Pankow, we were doing Mad About You years ago. And he goes, come into my room. And he pressed a button, and I got to hear his 2 or 3 year old daughter leave a message for her daddy. It was fantastic. Okay. I go, oh my God. And then he could play it over and he could keep it. Okay. He could play it whenever he wanted. These are things that I did, you know, before, not before you were born, but when you were in elementary school or whatever. Well, around June 27th, his daughter got married.
Oh, wow.
So that puts things in perspective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. I want to see what Apple is going to come up with. And God knows they have to come up with something soon.
Sure,
because,
seriously.
I mean, Jesus. I mean, that's, you know, everything that I still have the
i8. I have that too.
And it's fantastic. How are you really going to improve on what is fantastic? A better camera? Please. That camera takes pictures just fine.
I remember when I was going to get the phone, they were like, "Do you want a 10? I'm like, you know what? I don't need it.
Yeah.
Who needs it?
I can't believe I said
Who
that.
Who needs
too.
It? Yes.
Yeah.
Oral
like,
sex. That's the only thing they can do.
Yeah.
Apple must invent oral sex. I'm waiting.
Well, in Augie, there are pants.
Stop. Yes.
All right. Okay.
We won't give it away.
Okay.
We won't give it away.
So you want to see all this cool Apple stuff, all this new technology. Is there anything, like growing up, were you geeky about anything? Was it like, you know, any TV shows or any science fiction were you into?
Well, of course, I loved Outer Limits, which scared me. And I loved Twilight Zone, which enthralled me. You know what? I did love 2001. Mm. And I loved Planet of the Apes. And I loved Soylent Green. And I don't know when I'm mentioning pictures that you've all seen.
Of course,
you've seen 2001. But all these movies were great. Oh, Westworld, the original Westworld. I loved it so much, I won't watch the TV show.
Really?
Yeah.
Most of my family feels that way.
Because the TV show seems so austere, and the movie Westworld was much more accessible.
Yeah, I didn't like I watched the first season of the new series, and it felt like it was meant to be discussed as like some sort of like Rubik's Cube. It wasn't like fun at all.
Oh, that's interesting, because the movie is just fun.
Yeah.
First of all, Richard Benjamin in the Western outfit, it would look silly, and he was great.
Yeah,
he was great.
Yeah. Did you watch? Have you been watching Westworld?
No. We pretty much opted out because I remember the jangly cowboys like in the original, and that's I wanted.
By the way, you know who wrote Westworld, don't you?
The original, no.
Michael Crichton.
Oh right,
oh,
I knew that. Yes,
yeah.
I didn't know that.
That's
and what's amazing is that Michael Crichton wrote ER. He created ER.
Mm-hmm. That I didn't know.
Yep.
Huh.
I know.
I did not know that. So
crazy.
One show that I really love that you were in, and you had like a pretty meaty role, was Red Oaks, the Amazon show.
Well, why are we talking about that on Sci-Fi? But
we can talk about it. We talk about really anything.
Anything
oh, you do?
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
Red Oaks is the loveliest of lovely shows, and nobody saw it.
I loved it.
And I say Amazon, who I think has great product, great. They can sell underwear and socks, but they can't sell a TV show, and it's a shame because their shows. Have you seen Patriot?
I haven't watched that. No,
that's the thing. It's like,
My God, it's the greatest. It took a year and a half to 2 years between season one and season two, but season two has been out for a year now, and they're not making any more. Patriot is the finest.
What's the synopsis?
Sell it.
Okay. I do have a log line, a tag line, a slug line for it. The son of a CIA director is a CIA operative, and he doesn't like being a CIA operative, but his father needs him, and therefore he goes into it, and he's a bit misanthropic, does not like what he's doing, but goes and does it. And he's so upset with what he does. He's really a musician, and he goes to coffee houses, and he gives away secret CIA secrets in his lyrics when he goes and...
That's great.
It's a wonderful and very...
I'm in.
I've heard it described, and this is just a little too pat, but if the Coen brothers made a thriller, a spy thriller.
Ooh.
What?
Wait till you see it.
Wow.
I was in Minneapolis a few weeks ago, and I was like, it really feels like a Coen Brothers movie here.
So you went to the Coen Brothers Museum?
No, I was there for a wedding.
There's no
Coen
Brothers Museum. I was like, really?
It felt like the whole place felt like a Coen Brothers Museum.
In fact, they should have a Coen Brothers Dylan Museum, and I believe that their paths intercut, and that's why they did Llewyn.
Sure.
Llewyn
great movie.
Yeah, great
Llewyn Davis.
Movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Llewyn Davis. I could see where you thought that, and then how it all does it fit into... What's the movie? Not Simple Plan. Oh, you know the
Serious
one.
Serious Man?
No, not Serious. Mm. No, that one's reeks of Minneapolis. the very first
Fargo?
The very first movie. No, the very first movie.
David
DeWargo.
The crime one.
Yes, I want to say Simple Plan, but it's not that. It's yes. Get your phone. Let's find out. IMDb.
I can see the poster in my head
With Emmett Walsh and with Fran. And It's a great movie.
That is a great movie.
And all funded by friends of their family.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Actually, speaking of friends of family, I know a kid growing up that I think he did his web series, Aaron Eisenberg.
I love Aaron.
Yeah. I knew him. He went to high school with me.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. Okay. He's friends with my brother. But yeah, great. I remember watching it.
Yeah. I went to college with his mom.
Really?
Hmm. Yeah. I went to school with his mom. No. No, not Aaron. No, not his mom. But I went to school with his dad. Yeah, I went to school with his dad. Yeah.
I remember being like, oh, my God. What is it? What's the name? Blood Simple.
Blood Simple. Oh, have you ever seen Blood Simple?
Yes.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, no.
Have you seen it?
Mm-mm.
Go, see it.
All right.
Now. Get out of here. Bye-bye, Emily.
Yeah, but like with Red Oaks, I'm from New Jersey.
Where?
Edison, and then my family moved to Westfield, so Central Jersey.
Oh, okay, and my dad's store was in Princeton.
Okay, sure, there you go. And so it felt like very much, I mean, not the same era. You know, I grew up in the 90s, this was the 80s. But like, you know, middle class kids.
Oh, you're talking about Red Oaks.
Yeah.
Oh, like, very, very, very much. And I've called it. It's such a tonic for these ugly, ugly times. It's just a sweet series. It's you know, in the 80s, it's the Goldbergs without being a situation comedy.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
It's comic, but it delves deeper.
So I know you have a number of a couple of kids.
I do.
Yeah. So what are they into? Like what super...
They are into not me. My son loved The Flash. They've seen The Office. They must have gone the cycle at least 8 times.
Yeah.
Literally.
It's wild.
Young people are doing that. Yeah. Yeah.
They love it. My son now, what do they all... My youngest or his twin sister is into what's on... YouTube and stuff like that. He now is into Instagram. He wasn't. Now he is. My oldest, God, what did they watch? Well, he really did love the Marvel world. And we'd come out. I call Marvel, those movies were $18 naps for me. and he would come out and I would ask him about the things that I missed. And then he would quiz me on Thanos and this and that, and he goes, well, you know, the ring, this and that, and he just knows everything and can interconnect them all. He was very upset that Spider-Man will not be part of the Marvel next movie.
Yeah.
I know, all because of money. That's why art and commerce should never mix.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And I don't know what he's because I don't pay attention anymore. Yeah.
Maybe he's a sci-fi reader.
Yeah, right. Yeah, he could be into pornography. He's 14.
He probably is into pornography.
He is not. Believe me, we monitor. Trust me, he is not.
Well, it's got to be scary with kids. Like they have. So I remember, like, you know, I'm sure
scary with adults.
Okay, well, not ahead. The pornography part, but like I, you know, my parents were, you know, lame or whatever, but they kind of understood. We could watch the same TV shows, you know, because there's only so much entertainment, right?
Right.
We watch the same movies.
That's
now with
right.
kids. I don't know what the hell. I have a niece who's like 16 and a nephew who's like 14. They're always on Instagram and YouTube. And I'm like, there's too much. I can't possibly
Plus, you had a family device growing up. Like we had a computer room, whereas kids now are just on their own little screen.
They have their own. I'll tell you something that I did. My son, I'm on a show called Big Mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Hilarious show. It's a great show. It's wonderful for what it does. And it's fun just in its own right. I wonder if that, did you hear that gurgle?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, so I just wanted to know whether the people at home.
Oh, we can edit it.
No, don't edit that out.
It's
that's
real.
Me.
It's real. That's
yes,
reality.
I'm a human being. I'm a human person.
He's a man of the theater. He's got a drama desk
award. Right. When Big Mouth, when all of his, a lot of his friends had seen it and everything, and I told them, we watched the first episode together. And then I told them, I said, look, I'm going to tell you something. You're going to end up watching this if you want, all by yourself. You know, you're going to watch it. We're going to stop watching it. And I'll tell you why is because I think he was 13 at the time. Oh, I remember is that I said he couldn't watch it until he was 14.
Why?
Well,
just I wanted him to know that this was discussing things that a 13-year-old shouldn't watch or that you've got to grow into this and everything. But then when it was 14, when he was 14 and we watched it like around the time of his birthday, I said, I'm going to tell you something honestly, and I can't prevent you from watching this because if you want to watch it, you're going to get to it. But my advice is don't watch it because they're going to give away secrets that are going to come out and you're just going to go, what? And let them be a surprise. Let yourself discover all of that. Let it pour over you. And then when you're 16, you'll look at the show and you go, oh, my God, I thought I was the only one. And you're not. So watch it then. That's how I believe a lot of what we're watching, what people are watching today, kids especially, mm-hmm. are watching. It's not that they shouldn't be watching it. It's they're not going to get it so much. I remember I saw Carnal Knowledge. Have you ever seen that movie?
No. I can guess what it
No, it's what
really?
It is. Oh, it's what Jack Nicholson, Candice Bergen. It's a magnificent movie, but a social satire. But when I say satire, it's a truly adult movie, truly adult, with issues that are truly adult. And my parents forbade me to see it, forbade me. And Alex Schuster he was the first one to get his license. So we drove to the movie theater. We saw the movie. I didn't know what was going on. Did it bore me? No, but, you know, I certainly remember. Then I saw it in my 20s. Holy crow. And then you see it in your 30s, and it's even more eye-opening. Written by Jules Feiffer, it's a movie about adults with adult problems.
Sure.
Simply adult problems. It's like Virginia Woolf. You've seen the play Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf?
Yeah.
Well, okay, you read that as a 16-year-old. You don't know what the hell is going on. You don't know why these two people are arguing or what they want. There's nothing bad in the play. But it's for adults. And sometimes it lets out things that the information can't be, you know, the toothpaste can't be put back into the tube.
Sure.
So watch it at an age-appropriate time, which does not mean because of violence or because of sex, but you will get more out of it, and why ruin it so early for yourself?
So did your son end up watching Big Mouth?
And masturbated the entire time. No, I don't believe he did. No, I don't believe he watched Big Mouth.
Emily's a big fan.
A Big Mouth?
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. And I'm glad you brought that up.
Thank you, because I thought you were going to... We're referring to the other thing I said. And I went, whoa. Hey, take it easy.
No, I've wondered that too, though. Like, when is the best age to watch something like that?
I think
you're right.
I think it's... And it's a cartoon, so it seems like, a kid should watch it.
Mm-hmm.
They shouldn't.
Mm.
And, you know, we can't do it. And a kid will, you know, but, you know, kids want to stay up as late as they can.
Uh-huh.
It's not good for them. Okay. But they want to stay up for, at what age do you go, oh my God, I like mushrooms on my pizza and I should go to bed earlier because I'm tired.
Yeah.
I remember staying up and watching Conan, his late show, late night, Conan O'Brien back in the, I guess early 2000s before he went to...
Yeah, 12:30.
Yeah, and I'm sure, I mean, I loved it, but I'm sure most of it just went over my head.
Oh,
I'm like 15.
Of course. Well, my favorite, you know, some of the jokes, have you seen Bullwinkle? Do you ever watch Rocky and Bullwinkle?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, do you remember what college he went to?
What's the matter of you?
What's the matter of you? Now, that's hilarious if you're older, if you're 18 or above.
Yeah. Right.
But as a kid... You're watching a cartoon made for kids, and yet, can you imagine the humor that went over your head?
Mm-hmm.
I always wonder how younger people end up being creative in any sort of deep way, right? Because I feel like you have to like have the crap beaten out of you a little bit by the world before you can be at all creative and create something. Maybe I just tell myself that.
I believe that. Well, you know, that's Sam Levinson, who you don't know, but he wrote a book called Everything But Money. You know, it's, you gotta, you know, are truly great comedians, can they only be from poor families?
Mm.
There was a time when I really thought that, and I said, I can't go into this business because I was middle class. But yes, you do have to be beaten up a little bit.
Yeah.
I guess you have to be the outcast. And so welcome, sci-fi audience.
We think we have a few outcasts listening.
Yeah, I think they know think that's them.
Yeah. They're like, oh, that's inspiring. Thank you. And so you said, you know, one day you want to, when your kids get older, go to college, you want to try lots of new things as an actor. I've already been
trying new things, but there are things. For instance, my joke is that I'm going to retire to L.A. and play a lot of golf and work a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
But I could do plays still. And it is hard to live the life that I've chosen with kids and living in New York and do theater, which is my love. And so when the kids go and I don't have the responsibilities, maybe I'll be able to do more theater. I did it when I was younger.
Yeah.
You know, so.
What is it about theater you said that you theater has allowed you the experience of being the character that has the full arc.
Well, usually if I do a play, I'm usually the lead. Okay, mm-hmm. You know, I did The Producers, or mm-hmm. I do, you know, you do stuff like that. And you live, what is amazing is like you live usually an entire man's life in 2.5 hours. If you think of what happened to Willie Loman in Death of a Salesman, mm-hmm. that he starts out as this guy, and then at the end of the evening, he kills himself. And you live that every night, 2 times on Wednesdays and Saturdays. That's taxing. Mm-hmm. I call it, it's like shampoo. Shampoo, you put it in your hand, a dime size, and then it creates an entire head of lather. That's what doing a play is that it just, it's 2.5 hours, but it's a lifetime.
Mm.
It just grows.
It sounds taxing.
Yeah.
Oh, it can be taxing, but it's also, you know, hard work is fun and it could be exhilarating.
Yeah, I'm sure.
It's wonderful. Oh my God, it's wonderful. And it doesn't all have to be Long Day's Journey into Night.
Sure.
You know, it's not always a literal Long Day's Journey into Night, but you do The Producers, and that's only a short portion of his life, but that man, Max Bialystock, had hungers. I mean, for women and money and success and he was a glutton, and that's a lot of energy every night, and it's fun.
So what is your dream role?
I used to say that I didn't have a dream role, but I do have a dream role, and I doubt I'll play it, but I'd love it. Is Roy Cohn in Angels in America.
Oh, wow.
I really want to play that role, the villainous aspect of that guy, and then to immerse yourself in such a brilliant play. Mm-hmm. Tony Kushner is just, he's our finest. He's our finest, he's both morally and writing a play, writing the drama and the language. He's the best. He's great.
To see you play someone that vile,
yeah,
would be like,
it's fun.
A shock to the system.
Well, I did that in a show called The Big Knife,
right,
which was a play by Clifford Odets. I was an utter monster, a Hollywood monster. I was the head of a Hollywood studio, and he was despicable, awful man. It's a blast.
Yeah,
it's a blast. Yeah.
Based on a lot of real characters now, I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, it was based on a character named Harry Cohen.
Yeah.
Fascinating stories about Harry Cohen. The one that I like the most that sort of says everything is he was having trouble with his with the unions, and he had a lawyer, on staff who took care of everything, did the negotiations, and everything was solved. And Harry Cohen said, "I'm sorry, I'm going to have to fire you." And he goes, "Why?" He goes, "Don't worry, I'm going to get you a job anywhere you want. I'll get you another job, but I can't have you here." And he goes, "Why?" And he goes, "Because every time I pass you, I'm going to have to feel like I'm indebted to you, and I can't do that."
Boy, that's cold.
He's cold. He was cold.
Damn.
Yeah, but isn't that a great,
fascinating,
fascinating twisted mind?
Mm. And to dig into Roy Cohn, like, what a horrible.
Horrible.
Like, we're still feeling his effects now.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hell, I mean, and to have been brought up with Richard Nixon during the McCarthy era.
Yeah.
You know, that's where he cut his teeth. Ugh, what a disgraceful, disgraceful man.
With that, what kind of headspace do you have to be in to, like, play a role like that?
That evil, yeah.
Oh, it's everything. You know, it's play pretend.
I like that philosophy.
Yeah, yeah. You don't have to be in a headspace. You just play pretend.
Do you see yourself being a lifelong New Yorker?
You know what? I got to ultimately say yes, I am. But between November and March, I will be a lifelong LA because I'm playing golf.
Right.
I want to play golf.
Fair enough.
And you can't do that here.
Fair enough. Well, so at the end of every episode, we'd like to beg our listeners to give us 5 stars on iTunes. It's our
five what?
5 stars on iTunes.
Okay.
Like a review.
Yeah. Like
well,
a good
for
review.
God's sake, certainly on this episode.
So we were saying, so we like to do that, and so if you, we like to give people reasons to give us 5 stars. So if you feel so inclined, if you could make an appeal for us.
I want to say, like, we'll shoot this dog unless you do, which was
fine.
That was it. You know what that's,
yeah, sure.
That's
yeah.
The reference. They have a very rickety bridge table. It's holding 3 mics, a controller, some water, a computer. We're sitting, we're way too close. We don't smell good enough to be sitting so close to each other. They need something with wood to rest everything on. I beg you, give them 5 stars so they can get some sort of decent. I mean, I'm shaking the table now and it could fall over. I'm telling you, it's a bridge table. It's a bridge table from Costco that costs $6.99. Dear God, give them 5 stars.
You heard the man.
That was the best I could have imagined.
Thank you so much. Tell us, when is Augie Hit Theaters?
I can't tell you that. Friday, yeah. September 20th.
Awesome. It's a lot of fun.
Yes. It's a very interesting, adult-themed intelligence. You know, it's like, did you see A Serious Man?
Yeah.
I call A Serious Man is a date movie. And I'll tell you why. Even as depressing as it is, it brings up subjects that you go out and you could talk about. Conversation will not be hard. If you say, what do you think it meant? And this and that. Mm-hmm. And then when you find out what they think, you go, oh, is this who I should be with? And I think that this is also a little bit of a date movie. You talk about how do you feel about all of this, about technology. Do you wish that these things existed? It's something to talk about.
I watched it with my fiance last night and we definitely talked about it.
You
afterwards.
Did?
Yeah.
And have you seen A Serious Man with your fiance?
We haven't, but maybe that'll be the next
one. Watch it, find out how she feels about all these sorts of philosophy and stuff.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. All right, Emily, how can people find you on Twitter?
Oh, I'm Emily G. Monster on Twitter.
And I'm at Jordan Zachron on Twitter. We're also at Fan and File Sci-Fi. Richard, thank you so much
for being here. My pleasure. That's great.
Appreciate it.
You bet. You guys are great. Thanks.